Hi everyone, it's January the 5th, and we're assembled to bless this new year. We are counting on it being a year filled with blessings because we know they're always there. We just don't always see them. So we're going to tune our senses and our heart and our soul to see and discover and receive all the blessings that have been given. And this blessing today will be dedicated to the start of a new year for each one of you and the start of a new decade, which is very important. Our decades do seem to be marked with personality and qualities of interest and a lot of other things that go along with the progressions of time. We had a very beautiful at times and challenging teenage decade. A lot of earth changes, a lot of dramas in the human social landscape, a lot of tragedies. And overall, I would say it was a decade of tenseness and revelation and challenge and trying to move forward beyond it. I know for me, it was the most difficult decade of my life. I know from some of my friends that they would say the same thing. But we're going to move into a new decade, and let's just step a new energy for it. Let's just come together from our heart, moving toward our soul, and claim it for being the best next section of life that we can possibly enjoy, receive, and produce in. So I'm going to open the line. We are recorded, so safe to go forward. Gonna open the line. I see Elizabeth has been here for quite a while. Hello, Elizabeth, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. I'm just calling again for prayers for Australia as the situation is still just catastrophic there, and pray for the souls of all the 480 million animals who've lost their life in the fires, and for the, I think it's about 23 humans who've lost their life during this terrible, terrible tragedy that just keeps going and going. So if we could just keep sending prayers to help everyone on every level of existence right there. And rain,
absolutely.
Of course, they've had a little bit of rain,
of
but we need rain.
A lot of rain, yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Australia is in my prayers every day. I have many dear friends there. Fortunately, none of them are in the danger path of the fire, but they have friends and family that are. And we hold our hearts open for a quick release. And now I'm going to open the line to Jerome, who has the happiest voice I know.
Love and light, Jesus. Thank you. You're just great. Two of them here. One is Andrew and one is Vinny. He's a little 5-year-old with asthma. So, but also our church, we prayed for Australia today too, and for the world in general and for our country in general too. But Glenda, you're just priceless and I love you dearly.
Oh, and ditto. Jerome, you are too.
Okay,
and your family and everyone else you love in your pathway of love and blessings. May they keep on blossoming and growing.
I'm growing too. You are too. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. And I'm going to take a call from Stephen. Hello, dear friend.
Hello, Glenda. So happy to be here. Thank you. And I just want to, I've been going through a lot lately, so I just want to put myself on the blessing list. A lot of emotional upheavals lately for me. Interestingly triggered by listening to these old Beatles songs that were recorded in 432 kilohertz, which is, I guess, sort of an ancient frequency. And it's just brought up a lot of deep emotional stuff. I think a whole new layer of grieving around the death of my mother who passed 3 years ago has come up. And then just a couple of days ago, actually on the 1st, my disc in my lower back slipped. So I've been flat on my back, just barely able to crawl to the toilet when I need to. For the last several days, so definitely it seems like I'm going through a lot here. So I just want to ask for continued blessings, obviously, for my sister and my good friend Shane and his wife Vanessa, who is overcoming cancer. It looks like they're making great progress on that front, and then for myself as well. So thank you.
You are so welcome, and I want to take this opportunity to add a comment that, well, it's not just a comment, it's a lesson that I've learned from many reviews of the Book of Job. I want to remind you that our human sufferings are not usually, rarely actually, any kind of punishment. And don't take it personally. There are challenges we pass through in life in order to build a greater harmony down the road. One of my great life lessons has to do with harmony. It drew me into the arts. It drew me into spiritual work. It drew me into teaching. And I've been good at all of them. But my biggest lessons come when I encounter a passage of disharmony, because only then do I really learn the importance of harmony and the importance of it to bring disharmony back into the wholeness of life. One of the things we all have to look at is the fact that there are seasons to life, and there's a necessity for the wind, a necessity for the storms, a necessity for growth. And growth is not always, sometimes it's dissonant. It's not always what we would look at as harmony. And what challenges me is the final passage summarized by Job when he tried everything. You know, Job had this beautiful life. It was affluent, a beautiful wife, faithful to him, children that he adored who were faithful to him, friends, good business. His life resembled a spring afternoon on the lawn with mint juleps and tea, if that makes sense. In other words, there was nothing about his life that was not lovely, harmonious, blissful, cheerful, happy, and he was a happy guy. And then all of a sudden, he lost it all. He lost it all. I won't go into the why, because that's another theological subject that I don't want to get into at this moment. The point is, he was thrown upside down in life. And he tried everything he could. And everything he tried was directed toward praying, alms to the poor, helping the poor. In other words, he was trying to recover harmony. He tried to go back to where there was harmony. Does that make sense? Okay. That's what we do when we're hurting. We take a pain reliever. Or we go talk to a friend. We want to get that peace and that harmony back. Well, after Job tried everything and nothing worked, absolutely nothing worked, he finally gave up. And he said, "Oh Lord, I give myself to thee because you are all I need." When he said that, he was given back everything. Now, what did that mean? Did that mean that he was giving up his human preferences for harmony and peace? No, I don't think so. I think what he was doing is that he was accepting the whole of life, which isn't always harmonious. The whole of life requires the winter season. The whole of life requires the challenges to make us grow. The whole of life requires the things that happen that cause us to resist, and then pain takes over. The whole of life requires people we haven't met yet who might not agree with us. And on first meeting, we might have a fight, but we work through it. And as Yeshua said, learn to love your enemies. He said it beautifully. I mean, he summarized the achievement of Job, because Yeshua said, there's no accomplishment in loving your brother. What have you accomplished? Loving your enemy. Now, that's an accomplishment. You see, we were brought here to accomplish. And when we have pain, that's only a signal that tells us that we need to accomplish something in the direction of the pain. Instead, we take pain relievers. Instead, we push it off. Instead, we look in the other direction. We don't like to look in the direction of pain. But there's something we need to discover in order to grow. And that discovery is going to be an enormous blessing. I can tell you firsthand, I'm not going to tell you the details of my life in the last 4 years since, or 3 years since the hurricane, but I can tell you that every pain that has come into my life, I tried to push away. And every time I looked into the pain, it went away. And on the other side of it, I found something that I was supposed to discover, and I became a bigger person. I learned, you know, I entered ministry. This is just really a little touch of personal biography. I entered ministry not knowing that I was entering ministry. That's true. Yeshua came to me and said, paint my portrait. And of course I loved to paint. I was good at portraits. I did it. It was wonderful. We had a great conversation. Who wouldn't have a great conversation with him? Wrote it down for my diary. I wasn't intending to tell anybody I talked with him because they would think I was crazy. Okay? But I came to a wall and I couldn't go any further. And people were pushing me and pushing me and pushing me to talk about it. And finally I got the courage and I did. On the other side was a blessing. Unbelievable. And then more people wanted to know. But that meant I would have to travel. So I did. And then the people I met, a blessing. Unbelievable. And some people were about ready to throw rotten tomatoes at me. But I looked in their face, and they didn't. Instead, they hugged me. And so I walked on, and more people wanted it, and I had to write. And I thought, oh, my gosh, how am I going to ever put all of these words into a book and be honest and faithful about exactly, and remember everything he said. And like a miracle, it was there. We were reestablished in communication. And then from there, I'll shorten the story, getting on a little bit further to the church. I never expected to be even a minister of a church, much less a bishop of a church. And I certainly was not going to go start my own church. Heaven, no. Me? Do that? But the original church found me and said, come and work with us and serve the Lord. And I thought, oh, Mike, I can't do that. People will think I'm ill-prepared and under-supplied. And someone came to me and said, how much more supplied could you be than having talked to the Lord yourself? And I went, well, okay, you got me there. And so I took up the mantle and went forward. And then people came and wanted to be ministers, and I thought, but I can't do that. But I did. And then more and more. And then people come and they want healing. And I thought, I can't do that. I don't have that ability. Why are people asking me for that? You know, I'm an artist. I'm a cowgirl. You see, I would try to escape. I would run the other direction. You know, I'm a little girl that would go to Town Creek and play with dragonflies. Who am I? Who am I that you should come and ask me for healing? And finally, someone said to me, Glenda, you're not the one that will heal them. You're just the one that will stand with them and strengthen their faith so that the Lord can do his healing. And then I said, okay, I can do that. And this is the way it goes. Every pain, everything you think you can't do is what you have to face next. Until finally you get to a place and you say, oh Lord, you're all I need. With you, I can do anything. Without you, I can do nothing. And the challenge is all over. And all the wealth is restored, the healing, the family was healed from their illnesses, and his servants returned, and the community admiration returned, and for me, I go through this hurricane. Well, at least I have learned by that by 2017, I've learned not to run from the storm. So I decided to stay. And everybody told me to leave. Everybody said, Glenda, get out of there. People offered me their homes. And I said, but this is my home. This is where the Lord put me. I stayed. And actually, the hurricane hit our city, our little town, dead on. Right dead on, but it went around our house. We did get a lot of damage that, and a lot that insurance didn't cover, but I wasn't harmed. My paintings were harmed. Nothing that was valuable. Our cars were not harmed. Nothing that was valuable was harmed. And, I was able to move out of the house first thing in the morning and join up with the rescue teams to be a first responder and help those who really were harmed. And in that, I made friends here that I would never have made before. Never. I moved down to this little fishing village for reasons I had no idea why God moved me down here. All the places in the universe. And I found out that morning why I was moved down here. And, you know, I made so many friends. Every time somebody has a barbecue in the town, they bring me a plate. I could probably go without ever shopping again. And when somebody's hurting, they come and ask me for a blessing. So I'm part of the community now. I don't really know if I will stay here forever. It may be that my time to be here is drawing to an end because, simply because I'm being drawn into a much larger work right now that will require some very high-level technology, and it doesn't exist down here. You know, we can't even get good internet service, and you know from coming on the calls many, many weeks and months and 10 years now for some of you that sometimes I rely on Tony to come on the call because I can't get on. After the storm, it was 3 months before I had a telephone. So this is not exactly Silicon Valley. This is not exactly where you come for high-tech, high-level, reaching out to the global community area. This is where I came to learn about a little fishing village, which is about as close as we can get in today's world in the United States to the Sea of Galilee and the apostles and many people are homeless here. They come here because of the mild weather and they need help. And you learn to serve and you learn to accept. And there are people of every race here, from all over the world here. It's like a little fishing village version of New York City, literally. You could meet someone here from all over the world. And I would say 50% of the people here speak Spanish and don't even know how to speak English. So it's been an education. If I ever wanted to go to a third world country without leaving the United States, God gave me the opportunity. And I have grown enormously despite the problems, despite the setbacks and, oh my gosh, financial hardships that I never thought I would have in my life. Never, never. I was not born rich, and never in my life have I been what I would call affluent or rich. But I never expected to lose everything either. You know, I never expected to be on the edge of poverty. And it's all happened to me down here. Everything that could be experienced, the rest of everything that I could not experience anywhere else and still be in the United States has happened to me down here in this little fishing village. So it will be part of my soul forever. And from this place, I have really learned to say, oh, Lord, you are all I need. And the blessings have become richer. The work has become more profound. The seminars have become more profound. And by the way, I'll take this little moment to say, we are in the process now of organizing a blessing seminar for either late winter or early spring here in Corpus Christi. And it may be the last one we ever offer down here, which I hope those of you who have been willing and interested in coming to learn how to be a blessing giver will come and join me. Because it looks like everything is coming through to bring on the next adventure among the many adventures of Glenda. So life moves on, we laugh, we cry, and we embrace it with a spirit of faith. And really, that's all we can do as human beings. And this turned out to be a much longer message than I expected, but I think it was important to start our new year this way because who knows what the new year will bring? Who knows what the new decade will bring? For some of you, it will bring you face to face with your challenge, what you don't want to look at. And for others, it will bring the end of challenge. And everything you desired. For most of us, it will be just another day on the road. And there'll be a few bumps and a few stretches where you can get up to speed. But whatever it brings, there is nothing you can accomplish without faith. It is your faith that keeps you always in touch with God. This is why our Heavenly Father disappeared in the sense of our five perceptual senses, so that we would seek Him with our heart and our soul. And in the process of doing that, our soul would be saved. Our soul would be that which is radiant and glowing, instead of so much emphasis on the material world and the problems of the material world. Now I'm going to bring on my sidekick, Tony. Hi, Tony. I know you've got something important to tell us about the full moon eclipse today.
Oh, wow.
Or is it next week? Is it next week?
Yeah.
It's next week.
Yeah. Yes, it's coming. And I have, it's going to be, it's a partial lunar eclipse. I saw something about it. That has kind of, not even really gotten much of my attention, because the, alignment with the sun is more, it's a rare event. The sun and Mercury are going to be exactly conjunct. So within one day of the Saturn-Pluto conjunction, which has only one hit, and it's going to happen on next Saturday. So then on Sunday, Monday, so it's like from the 11th next Saturday to like through the 14th, the sun and Mercury are going to swing through. So it's like Saturn and Pluto, which to me, speaking to me, like the energy of metamorphosis.
Oh, yeah.
And so the sun and Mercury are going to swing through, and the asteroid Ceres is exactly aligned with this. Ceres relates to the energy of the mother, and also the gift of the goddess and agriculture, going back 10,000 years at least. So the energy of the mother is with this event as well. So it's kind of like light and awareness are sweeping through. It's like a new birth, or the butterfly breaking out of the cocoon, with that type of alignment, the way it's configured, the geometry of it.
I really see that as launching the new decade.
That's nice, yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I want to hear more of your thoughts on that. This is really something, though. We haven't had an alignment of Saturn and Pluto in Capricorn going back until 1518. That's the last time Saturn and Pluto were in Capricorn together.
Wow.
So it's a big deal. Go on with what you were saying about starting the next decade.
Well, that was almost like launching the Renaissance.
Yeah.
Really? It was.
Yeah.
That was right in the height of the Renaissance. 1518?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was the time when, you know, the Americas had just been discovered by the Europeans.
Yes.
You know, had challenges, but it caused also huge evolution for everybody as well.
Absolutely. Wow. So that's a big deal. That's a really big deal. Because, and you know, if you just look at the energy of the Renaissance, I would say it was mostly positive, really. But it did open doorways that then led to challenge in the future.
Mm-hmm.
As people moved out of their predictable past They moved into the new world, literally the new world. The medieval age was over. The Middle Ages were over then. And that was a big deal also, because the Middle Ages were, they lasted for 1,000 years, Tony, with very little change, very, very little change. Of course, there was human migration all over Europe and Asia, but the migration was still within a certain mode of life. And there was no great cultural organization during the Middle Ages. The cathedrals were being built, and that was like the hub of the great cities. And the first universities were built in the Middle Ages. But as far as really jumping forward into a new way of life, it didn't happen till the 15th century. Mm-hmm. So I take that as a very, very positive spectrum of light to look into, a rainbow of light to look into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's happening, what, in the sign of Cancer?
Capricorn. So the moon
Capricorn.
Will be, the full moon will be in Cancer. So the full moon is reflecting and resonating this energy. So as we contemplate, we won't be able to look directly at the sun, of course, because that's where all this conjunction with Saturn, Pluto, and Mercury is happening. But we can see the moon, mm-hmm. and we can pick up on that, the reflection of it to us through the moonlight. So that's a good way to kind of focus. So we could use that as a focus for our prayers and our blessings as this next week and a half unfold.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tony. It's so good, and I so appreciate how you bring in the big picture. Elizabeth brought in the larger picture of the earth and the earth challenges and the suffering in Australia. I brought in the big spiritual picture of Job, and you brought in the big picture of the cosmic situation. So it looks like we are launching this the first blessing call of the decade in a really big way. It's not going to be anything small. And that's what I feel about this decade. It's not going to be anything small. We're going to have major discoveries scientifically, major developments economically and globally. I think this will not be a decade of smallness.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's going to be a decade of largeness.
Yeah, thank you very much for being here, and to everybody, but for the beautiful work that you're doing. And I've gotten so much out of the discussions and the calls, but the book certainly, but all of the classes and your ministry training really takes it to another level. So if anybody's out there and they feel called to contribute and explore that, I really loved it. I would really encourage it. And it opens up a whole another level of the connections and the awareness with this, which is extremely rewarding and beautiful. So thank you again.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. Thank you for that encouragement and that confirmation. I'm so glad to hear it. You know, I think all of us, in a way, want to be ministers, but we don't have the courage to be. We don't think we have the qualifications to be. And we think, who's going to listen to me? Who could I serve? What value would I have? And just come a little closer to God. You'll find out. But for now, we're going to just, we have Mara on the call, and I don't want to miss Mara. Hi, Mara. Let me bring you on.
Hi, Glenda. It's nice to hear your voice and your constant encouragement in some rather rugged times, if putting it very mildly. First of all, I would like to ask, how is Tim Lewis Loomis?
Tim is, as far as I can tell from the our emails, Tim has recovered. He's back to work, and I don't know if he has small symptoms. You know, possibly after being really sick, it might take him a while to be 100%. But he's back to work, I'll tell him you ask. He has been such a brother to me. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I could not have made it through this year without him.
And he's always so cheerful and
yes, he is.
Too. Yeah.
He really is.
Yeah. And then I want to thank you for all these messages. And Tony also, they're very meaningful. I'm very grateful for them. And then, of course, I would like myself and my family to be included in your in these blessings, in our blessings from Christ, and just
always.
Carry on the way.
Okay, always, Mara. We sure will. We love you so much.
I need to keep putting one foot in front of the other, and
yeah. That's it. Sometimes that's all there is to it. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
You got it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you so much for all, and all of you who are blessing givers, and all of you who call in for blessings. I love listening to these, to all of you. Thank you.
Bye-bye, Mara. Thank you, and God bless you. Joni, I saw you just came on, so we'll make room for you before we start.
Oh, thank you. I'll be quick. I wanted to just certainly stand with Elizabeth in the prayers for Australia. I am not blessed enough to call Australia homeland, but I did live in Sydney for many years, and such beautiful people, landscape, and wildlife. And as I've been praying for them, if a friend suggested to pray that all those affected also feel the love more than they feel the pain or the suffering. And I thought that was such a beautiful prayer, and I think it's one that's probably going to be used for so many situations around the world and in this coming decade as this reconstruction
yes.
and redesign of our universe, you know, continues to take
yeah.
place. So, and Elizabeth, my heart goes out to you. It truly does. So, and that's it.
Thank you,
thank
Joni.
You, Linda. You're welcome.
That's a lovely, lovely message. Thank you. And Tina came on. Hello, Tina.
Hi, Linda. This is Tina.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi. I wanted to ask for a blessing for my daughter, Sarah.
Oh, okay.
She's 15. Yeah, she's 15 now. And I'm not exactly sure, but she has anxieties that have gotten kind of strong. And I've even received a message in a dream from, I think it was an angel, and talking about it a little bit, but I didn't remember too much, but I'm just really trying to be open, to support her, you know, to receive guidance how to support her, and, you know, not exactly sure what is going on. It's difficult to look in the head of a teenager.
This is true. Even in their best days, they're a little bit perplexing. but we got through it, and so will she. You know, our teenage years are the most mysterious, shall we say, because
yeah,
we're discovering life in a whole new way.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And they're exposed to a lot, you know. There's
yes.
Unfortunately.
I know. I know. I know. They are. Okay. Sarah is on my list, and so are you, Tina. So I think it's time we got started with our blessing, and I will stand with the blessing givers, will stand with me. We will just hold in our hearts the best that can be for Australia, the fires, the plants, the animals, and for our beautiful Mother Earth, for wherever she may need to erupt in her changes next. We ask that we be protected and loved, and the animals can remember the love that we're sending. One of the things that I recalled in thinking back over some of the hardships of my life was this. When you look back and all you can remember is the love, you know that everything's been forgiven. Everything has been finished. Because in the end, love is all that lasts. So when we look back on, let's say, a hard childhood, but all we remember is the love. Everything's been forgiven. That's just the way it is. So as we move into this blessing, we are going to focus on the love. We're going to focus on our love, the love of our friends, our dearest ones, our family, the ones we care about the most, and the ones who touch our hearts from a far distance. We're going to stretch our love and see how far it can take us. To see how far we can go in reaching those who deeply and sincerely need love right now. Just relax into your chair. I hope that you can sit with your feet on the ground, because you will draw energy up from our beautiful earth that way. But don't think you have to be in a formal position. Just relax. You're with God. And that's all you need to be. Dear Yeshua, we call you forth into our lives with open hearts and great expectation and all the faith that our soul can bring, that we are exactly where we need to be, facing exactly what we need to face in order to move through it onto our next place in life. We thank you for giving us strength and hope and courage. We know you are with us always, but we thank you for making your presence a little more perceptible right now, that we may receive the blessings you are offering. We ask for all the blessings that have been voiced, and all the blessings that were not voiced, by all the people who were silent on the call and all the people in our world who are just too silent to pray, but in their heart they know what they need. Help them to receive it. You gave your life that we might have a better life. And a more abundant life with revelations of truth and reunion with our Father God. We ask now to be with you and to receive. This we ask in your precious name. Amen. Blessing givers, let's begin. Amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, continue in your receiving. First by resting for at least 7 minutes and don't think anything. And then continue receiving for the rest of your day with gratitude, faith, and expectation. And then acknowledge blessings as they come during the week. That God may know your happiness. Bye-bye for now. I look forward to seeing you next week. Have a wonderful week.